Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max coming to you live from the keyboard, brought to you by Patron. Perfection starts with Patron. Good morning, Keith. Good morning, Jay.
What it do, baby?
I mentioned we're presented by Progressive Insurance. So, Kevin Durant's in Phoenix.
Good morning, Max.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Doing well.
Where's Kevin Durant?
Phoenix. Have you heard about the trade? So, he's with Devin Booker. I mean, KD and Devin Booker is ridiculous. As was KD and Kyrie and James Harden, right? But they just never wound up playing a lot together. And the difference here is KD is being parachuted into a situation that's more ready-baked. Now, they had to give, unlike the Golden State Warriors, who didn't have to move that many pieces to fit KD in, because that was a sign and trade thing. This they had to give up all their 3-and-D perimeter. Mikal Bridges just had 45 last night. But still, they kept their biggest name stars in Devin Booker and Chris Paul. And now, Jay, the question is there more pressure on Chris Paul, who is famously, you know, a great point guard, but also has never won a championship in spite of having a lot of bites at the apple? He's been snake bit, been hurt at the wrong time, etc. But nevertheless, that's the reality. This is courtesy of Nick Friedel, Chris Paul, on the opportunity to play with Kevin Durant.
It's wild. You know, everything happens for a reason. You know, KD like a family. I mean, so to now get an opportunity to play, you know, alongside him in this capacity, I'm excited and grateful for the opportunity.
Is this, I feel like we ask this every year since he was on the Clippers, right? Is this Chris Paul's last real chance at winning a title?
I mean, is it more pressure or is this his last chance? Which one? Because you asked the more pressure one first. Which one are we getting into?
Let's go with pressure.
Let's go with pressure? I like that one. No. Like, he's 37. He's going to be turning 38 in May. I look at, like, look, to me, Chris Paul's legacy is cemented. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. He is one of the all-time assist leaders. He is a guy that was all NBA defensive team 7 times, all NBA 4 times, second team 3 times. He's one of the best point guards the game of basketball has ever seen. Could him winning a championship be like a nightcap? Sure. Of course it would. It's almost like Jason Kidd when Jason Kidd finally won one, right? Like, great. But it didn't make me look at Jason Kidd like, that's a champion. Like, it didn't make Jason Kidd pop off the page more to me.
In other words, here's the question along those lines. Is he mostly still himself, or is this something that now that's so diminished that winning a championship doesn't prove what it had proved, you know, years ago?
But he's different, though. It's different than Jay Kidd. It's different than GP. It's different. Because Chris Paul is still a frontline guy for Phoenix. He's still the 3 at Phoenix. He's not the 1 anymore. He's not the 2. He's the 3rd guy, which is a very important piece of a championship team. So when I look at CP3, much like you, Jay, I mean, he's already – clearly, he's going to the Hall of Fame. There's no question about it. But I would ask you, just like I would ask Chris Paul, would you rather have that championship and be an important piece to winning that championship, or would you rather have all the other accolades?
Yeah, but Kia, I'd much rather win a championship, but I don't think that then translates to pressure, right?
Well, like he's in the gravy phase of his career. Whatever he does adds to it, but whatever he doesn't do doesn't take away.
But going to sleep at night on that pillow and you're one of the all-time greats, but you never can finish it, that sleep is not good, man. That sleep will not be good. He wants to sleep good. He wants to rest good. He doesn't want to have, you know, the Charles Barkley skit on TNT. Remember that, Jay, when they wouldn't let him in the club? You know, Kenny was like, you know, the club, the red rope. And all the champions was being allowed to come into the club, and they kept telling Barkley, excuse me, sir, you got to stand out. You can't come in. Oh. And then they would let somebody else in through the velvet rope, but they wouldn't let him in. That no matter how great that that was, that feeling is not good, and he deserves to win a championship.
I agree. I'm with you. I look, I want CP3 to win a championship more than anything. Key, I'm with you on that. But the reality is the last couple of years in the playoffs, he's been injured. He's been injury prone late.
They might have beaten the Golden State Warriors if he was healthy for James Harden that year.
When I think about pressure, I all of a sudden think, all right, like to me, pressure is like, well, you know, obviously there's pressure on CP3 to do it. I'm not living under a rock. I get that.
Really?
But it's not like the guy's had – like he's finished postseasons like being in incredible shape and finishing at a high level. He's always been injured.
Can I say something about this, guys? I think you're talking about two slightly different things. Jay, you're talking about there's no pressure because – the way the world views him, everyone knows he's this level point guard, et cetera, et cetera. And Key, you're talking about what he feels, how he's going to experience his success or failures or career accomplishments. Mm-hmm. That for him, forget about everybody else or what the perception
but
of
that's
his
what
is,
the most important thing, the most important thing for professional athletes, and you know this, Jay, is about how you feel.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, that's
not about how we perceive you on the outside. Because clearly the record books, they speak for themselves. But to be an important piece of a team winning a championship, not I'm at the end of the bench, I'm the 12th man, and I'm in my 39th year, and I happen to be there, and, you know, the coach remembered me from high school. Not
still
that
the third best player on the team.
The third best player on the team.
No, I agree with you. But, Key, I put pressure on myself in everything I do, like you do too, to be the best. Like, I naturally assume that. I'm talking more about the outside static of the media's kind of version of how they deem, like, oh, there's more pressure on CP3 now. And if he doesn't win one, then he's a guy that never won one. I'm sitting here trying to reframe the conversation for people by saying this guy is one of the best point guards to ever play basketball.
Absolutely.
When it's all said and done, regardless of whether he wins a chip or not. Like, absolutely. John Stockton was, like, but he's more of a traditional PG to me.
So, in other words,
like, it's different when I look at LeBron. When I look at Magic, when I look at Steph, when I look at Isaiah Thomas, like two of those guys are prolific, elite level scorers.
Chris Paul. Jason Kidd does not go up the list because of his championship.
Chris Paul is like
– he's more like Jason
statue,
Kidd.
He's a statue-type quarterback. There's only one or two of them left.
Yes.
And that's what Chris is. There's only one or two real point guards that's left in the NBA, right? That's that Chris Paul, a floor general quarterback of a team – type guy. I guess I'm really sensitive to Chris because he's a good friend, and want him to
yeah, I'm with you. I got the same
and
thing.
I want him to win a championship, and I don't want people to try to not I don't want to say smear, but look down up on his career if he doesn't win one. And I feel like I've been having this conversation for like five straight years.
I won't let them do that.
The only time I did have a conversation was when he was at OKC. That's the only time. But every year he's
otherwise,
been Houston.
This is the last best chance.
Oh, God. Houston.
But you know what the difference is?
Phoenix, the Clippers.
You know what Jay's talking about to me, Jay? This is what, like, the heart of it. Isaiah Thomas is comparable in size, more or less. And even in his status in the game, Isaiah's status, he was top three at times, right? Yeah. But similar comparison in certain ways. Isaiah won two championships as the best player on the team while he was still Isaiah Thomas. His status at all-time point guard, he comes right after the absurd players, right? Right after Magic and these kind of guys. There's Isaiah Thomas. He heads the pack because of those two chips. That boat, that ship has already sailed for Chris Paul. Mm-hmm. This chip will be much more like Jason Kidd's, which is checking the box. But
I think it's different because – again, I don't think that we, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jay, I don't think that we feel or felt the way we feel about Chris Paul winning a championship the same about Jason when he was playing. There wasn't this,
He was probably the third best player on the team. And the
no, but we wasn't, but it wasn't,
Chandler.
But wasn't an every year, every day conversation about whether or not Jason Kidd should get a championship or whether or not he needs one or whether or not it just wasn't. It just really wasn't. It wasn't that conversation. And why that is, I don't know. Maybe it's because the world has changed and the media has changed since Jason Kidd won his championship.
Jason Kidd didn't have as many commercials as Chris Paul.
Very different, right? As it relates to being like one of the main faces of the league, like that is CP3. and it still will be until he retires. I do feel, though, I like the fact that you have a lot of interests that are moving in that direction, right? You have CP3 that hasn't won one yet. He obviously wants to win one. But don't also sleep on the fact that there is pressure on Kevin Durant as well. Because everybody always – what's the first thing everybody says? Even though we look at it differently, right? Well, he went to Golden State. So, like, you have a lot of people –
I look at it just that way.
That are – I'm looking at it – well, he was still the best player on that team. That got two finals, MVPs.
I don't care if he went to Golden State or he went to the moon. He won two championships and MVPs.
But there are a lot of aligned interests now for Devin Booker, CP3, and KD.
This is more like a normal modern situation where you go to a team that hasn't yet won. They're very good because why would you go to a bad team? But it's not an unfair advantage. They're simply one of the best teams, and if you win a championship, you will have proven something different than winning it on a team that you that can't. Like that Golden State team couldn't lose.
On paper, man, on paper, it's an unfair advantage when you look at it.
I don't think so. You think they're that much better than the rest of the West? I think they're a little better.
Man, I need to see them play first. On paper, it looks
right. I know, but on paper, it's like.
It looks right.
Yeah, but the Golden State Warriors didn't just make a finals. They won a finals and then won 73 games
away. But we're not talking about Golden State, man.
But that's why it's
Phoenix
different.
On paper and what it looked like.
Right, but that's why it's different than there's pressure. Jay is saying there's pressure on KD, too. I agree because whether you two want to admit it or not, come on, man, that Golden State stuff wasn't even right.
It wasn't right because they was the best team that ever was or whatever you want to call
before
it.
Before he got there.
I will pose this, though.
But he, what but happened, they would have won them two championships, this, but I don't even know.
I will pose this a couple years ago. What happened to people saying that Devin Booker was like another iteration of Kobe Bryant? It does feel like now what's happening is the conversation around CP3 and KD being elite, right? Like that Devin Booker becomes like that, even though he's not. He's really the second guy, but it feels like he becomes that third story. That kind of gets glossed over. Like, what's going to happen to D-Book and how we view him on his team in the future?
Though, Jay, is when they start, oh, Kobe Bryant, look, he wore the shoes. He's the next Kobe Bryant. You're like, man, just
calm
chill.
Down. See,
I don't know basketball. Be quiet, man. Like, okay. You keep putting that cart before the horse all the time. Michael Jordan and Patrick Mahomes. You got to slow it down.
When Devin Booker is your best player, maybe you can win a championship if you have a really good team. When he's your second best player, ooh, you look at that and go, that's a problem.
Ye's got it by ear and said, take them Kobe's off.
Take them Jones off. You can't perform in the finals like that with Mambas on. Gotta take them Jones off.
If you are the New York Football Jets, would you wait on Aaron Rodgers or go all in for Keys guy? Derek Carr, Keyshawn, Jay Will and Max.
It's your guy.
ESPN Radio.
Well, I think he's going to end up back in Green Bay when it's all said and done.
If I am the Jets, I'm not waiting to see if Carr is going to come to me. I'm going to go make the moves to try and get Aaron Rodgers.
The number one spot I'm looking at right now, it's the Raiders.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Season is on the line on this play. Jared Goff, empty shotgun, takes a step, fires right side, got his man, and that will do it. That's the season, boys and girls.
I think it's going to be important to get through this week, to take my my isolation retreat, just to be able to contemplate all things my future. And
what's isolation retreat? We're just going into a cave?
It's 4 nights of complete darkness. It's a darkness retreat.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, were presented by Progressive Insurance. Boy, yesterday we were having a conversation about who the Jets should get, Aaron Rodgers or Derek Carr. And I did this whole thing about, look, I thought it was well thought out. Aaron Rodgers, maybe you get 2 years with him, maybe you get to an AFC championship game. It's unlikely any given quarterback wins a Super Bowl in 2 seasons with any team, right? Like, it's hard. But if you get to an A and you lose and da-da-da, you have to mortgage your future, all the draft picks for Aaron Rodgers, and that's probably – versus Derek Carr, all the Jets really need is a competent, experienced quarterback who can make some plays, you know, be a good leader, all that kind of stuff. You might have 5 years with him, five bites at the apple. Maybe that's a better situation. You don't have to sacrifice all your draft picks. And
not
then
Jimmy
Key,
G?
Then Key came –
You don't like Jimmy G to the Jets? That's your guy?
He could.
That's your guy?
Yeah, Jimmy G could work. Right. But Derek Carr's a bigger arm. But – Key said the following. Yeah, but Aaron Rodgers, boy, she's pretty. And it's true. Aaron Rodgers gives you extra. But I still like, Key, Derek Carr to the Jets. I like him on the Jets. I think he's a better option for them given what you have to give up to get him.
Maybe, because I don't know what you got to give up to get him. I got to kick the tires on her and find out what she's talking about, meaning Aaron Rodgers. Like, I got to find out. Let me have a conversation and see what
I
want
to go to Spago. All right. You know what? Derek Carr, come
here. I want to go to Spago.
Come on, come here, Derek Carr.
Hey, Mastro's.
Yeah, come on. Let's go. There's a nice little Italian spot on the corner right over here. It's fine. It's
Jay's neighborhood. We can walk to it.
Yeah, we can walk to it. It's good. Yeah. Come on, Derek. All right. Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL Insider, is with us now. He's brought to you by Wendy's, 2 for $6, the best deal in fast food. Mr. Graziano, what's going on?
The Graz.
Wendy's for breakfast. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I never had the Wendy's breakfast.
What's up, G-Money?
I haven't had it. We should try it.
G-Money, we're rolling out.
What's up, G-Money?
How we doing?
A lot of G-Monies, though. I feel like there are too many G-Monies.
So I could not be there today with you guys, but I'm nursing a post-Super Bowl illness that I didn't want to spread around the room.
That's
a smart
move. Very kind of you.
Yeah. Max comes very smart.
Hey, Graz, so we're just having this conversation. If you're the Jets, do you give up all the draft picks and all the cash and everything for maybe two bites at the apple? Maybe you make an AFC championship game. Who knows? Unlikely any team wins the Super Bowl in the next 2 seasons, right? It's just hard to do. Or you don't have to give up any of the draft picks. Just give them the cash. Grab Derek Carr. You might have him for the next 5 years. What's a better option, do you think?
Rodgers. I mean, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to go like 11-6 and get the 3 seed? Like, are you trying to win the Super Bowl? Like, I think you got to take a big swing. Like, if you're the Jets, like you're the most appealing of these options for these guys, right? Like, you have the top 10 defense, you have the offensive and defensive rookies of the year on your team. You have an exciting young running back who could have been offensive rookie of the year if he didn't get hurt. You know, you have offensive linemen coming back healthy, ideally. So I think you have to take the biggest swing you can. Now, you guys are right about we don't know what the price is, et cetera, but I think if you're the Jets, you have to at least explore the highest-end options available to you.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying, right, Max and Jay? You have to swing for the fences. Now, let's see what it is. What is it costing us? And I understand you're looking at his contract, and you're saying 2 years based on what's left on his contract. Let's not look at it that way. Because as
we jobs on the line there too, right, Key?
Yeah, absolutely. 100% is what people are saying, Dan, is that there's a possibility that the jobs could be on the line in the front office as well as on the sideline. So you want to go for Rodgers. Now, if you want to go that way and then you have to settle on Carr, it's not a bad settle, but you certainly want to reach for Rodgers if you can.
Yeah, let's find out exactly.
I'm curious, Dan, when you think about a lot of the potential movement thus far, what do you think the best hiring of this offseason has been thus far? Sean Payton?
How about Brian Flores as the defensive coordinator in Minnesota?
I mean,
you talk about a team that had one glaring weakness, right?
Okay.
Like, they could score. They had all these wins. They were good in close games. They couldn't stop anybody. I think that's got a chance to be the highest impact coaching hire of the offseason, even though it wasn't a head coach hire.
Yeah.
If you ask me specifically about head coaches, sure. I mean, Peyton's got the most experience. I think that makes a lot of sense, but I think that Flores hire in Minnesota has a chance to pay significant benefits.
Yeah, I talked about that yesterday on NFL Live, Dan, about when you look at what he did in New England with the Patriots defense and then what he did in Miami with that defense. And so he's not far removed from being a defensive coordinator. So he's still, you know, fresh in terms of calling the defense. And I think when you look at it, that is the one glaring miss that Minnesota had. The offense was good no matter what we think about Kirk Cousins. If they get their defense together, they could potentially be held in the NFC conference.
Yeah, I mean, that guy can coach. I mean, everything else that's going on around him the last couple of years is what it is, but it doesn't obscure the fact that he can coach. I mean, there's a reason Mike Tomlin snatched him up when he was on the market to help out their staff, and there's a reason he was only there 1 year.
Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL insider, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, better known as G Money. Dan,
G Money, 11 people turn around.
I thought it was DeGraz. I thought we named DeGraz.
I got to figure out the right name. You know, don't get mad at me for having a bit with you, though. You know what I'm saying, Dan?
Yeah,
don't tweet at me.
100% of the shots you don't take, right? I mean, you got to give it a shot.
Dan, okay, let's get back to Carr really quick. Okay. Does San Francisco make sense for him? Does the 49ers, hear me out, you give him essentially the cap space that Jimmy Garoppolo had and ate up. We don't know about Brock Purdy. We still need to see what Trey Lance is. Brock Purdy's coming off injury. Do you do a deal, a friendly deal, and make him your starter? Because you don't need him to do a whole lot based on the defense and the offensive scheme that you have put in place. And you let him bridge it for a couple years? Can you sell that?
Yes, but, I mean, you have a team in San Francisco that, if they had been able to come up with, literally any quarterback that could throw a forward pass, that, you know, in the NFC Championship game, they might have been in the Super Bowl. So, yes, you could, but it doesn't sound like that's the way they want to go, right? Like, if you're Derek Carr, if you're any quarterback, that should be your top choice to go play for Kyle Shanahan and that team in San Francisco. But it doesn't sound like San Francisco wants to go that way and that's going to be an option for those guys.
That's weird.
I think they want to see what they got in their young guys.
Yeah, if it was me, I'd because those dudes are hurt, and I just would – but, you know, they it's their office. They know what they're doing. I'm an outsider.
I mean, are we overrating Derek Carr a little bit here too?
I always overrate him, Dan. I just do. I always overrate him according to many people here at ESPN that I work with.
Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL insider, kind enough not to germ spread, but literally germ spread, Key. In the studio, I always appreciate it.
Unlike
Dan.
You.
What?
Wow.
Yeah, I did.
Wow.
I can't. I went to work sick all
week. Like there's some stuff you guys got to work out in there.
It seems COVID. Very personal.
All right.
I'll leave you to it.
Thank you, Dan. To the Max, early coaching hot seat coming up. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Shane had a lot of that offensive magic, which is hard to find in this league.
Brilliant football mind, and philosophically, we see the game the same way.
I know we got some pieces in place to get that done, and we should be ready to roll.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. It's To the Max. Early coaching hot seat 050 or To the Max. Shannon, take it away.
Yeah, I figured we'll go a little hot seat here now that we have all of the
Head coaching positions filled in the NFL, so it's never too early to start looking ahead to next season. So I'll give you a coach. You got to tell me whether that is hot seats at a 0, 50, or to the max. Easy enough. Key, I will start with you. Brandon Staley with the Los Angeles Chargers. His hot seat, 0, 50, or to the max?
I'm going to say 50. I'm going to give him a 50 on this one because the guy that I thought that they would target is now in Denver. So his seat cools a little bit. If Sean Payton was still available, I would probably say to the max. But I think Brandon Staley is a 50 right now.
I would say 50. I mean, look, we can't.
Max, Jay, your mic.
Oh, my.
Jay would say 50. Go ahead, Jay.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Does this
work now?
Yes.
We came into the season saying that they would have to get to the playoffs, right? Regardless of whether they hit the expectation that we had, what we thought they were going to do throughout the regular season, they did make the playoffs.
You had to
right?
make the playoffs.
Now, they lost in the playoffs in an epic manner, which is not good, but still now hiring Kellen Moore as the OC, you're looking for Justin Herbert to be revamped a little bit with Brandon Staley on the defensive side of the ball, 50 for me.
I'll go to the max if they miss the playoffs, right? So, like, I'm gonna say
yeah,
that,
but before this season,
yeah,
it's 50.
Right? Yeah, but I, going into this year, I'm going to say Staley has to make the playoffs to keep his job. Yeah, I'm going to say to the max.
All right, moving on to the next coach here, to the max, looking at early coaching hot seats. Key, Dennis Allen with the New Orleans Saints. Hot seat, 0-50 or to the max?
I'm going to say 50. When you look at the quarterback situation in New Orleans, can they land Derek Carr? If they can land a Derek Carr, find a quarterback that can help that offense out and they don't get things done, then that seat rises toward the end of the season and gets even hotter. But as of right now, I'm just going to put him at a 50 because New Orleans is used to being in the tournament, competing to try to get to a Super Bowl. And last year, clearly with all the injuries and the bad quarterback play, that didn't take place. But I'm going to say 50 for now.
I'll say 52. I think last year, even though they didn't, you know, reach expectations, I think a lot of players openly verbalized the fact that they fought for Dennis Allen. Like they fought for him. So I think he has the pulse of the locker room. I think there is some breathing room you can have adding a new QB to the team because it takes a while for that to hit his stride. So I would say 50. I think there's another year before the pressure really gets to the max.
I agree. 50. What do we got, Shannon?
All right, up next, Key, Mike McCarthy with the Dallas Cowboys. His hot seat, 0-50 or to the max?
I'm going to say to the max. Dan Quinn comes back as the defensive coordinator. He's coming back for a reason, okay? He took his name out of the coaching search in the National Football League for a reason. What that reason is, we don't quite know yet, but I can almost feel, I feel like, hey, he's the next guy in line if Mike McCarthy somehow fails. Because the Dallas Cowboys are trying to get to a championship. And at some point in time, you can't keep pointing the finger at the players. You're going to have to point the finger at the head coach at some point.
I mean, get on this carousel ride, right? It's gone from Mike McCarthy to Dak Prescott, now back to Mike McCarthy again. The fact that he's calling plays now, Key, Kellen Moore is no longer there. I would say it's to the max for a guy like Mike McCarthy. I think he's one hell of a coach. I think there's a lot of pressure on Dak Prescott as well. But I think this team, it might, other than this year, this might be their best chance to win a Super Bowl.
I think it's to the max. I don't think they win the Super Bowl, but I think they have a really good shot to get there by default in the NFC this upcoming season. But you stumble, you don't win a playoff game, you're out of there, I think, if you're McCarthy. So I'll say to the max.
All right, Key. Josh McDaniels with the Las Vegas Raiders. What's his hot seat, 0-50 or to the max?
It's a 0. It's a 0. And the reason it's going to be a 0 is because the division has gotten stronger with Sean Payton. He doesn't have a quarterback, and that's not by a mistake. You know, you got to point the finger at somebody, right? So you get rid of a guy, and you say, well, we don't have a quarterback. We can get Jimmy G. He knows me from New England. We don't have a defense. We're rebuilding. You know, give it some time. So I think in this situation, one thing that they don't want to do in the Raider Nation is spend money continuously on coaches, firing them, and have to continue to pay money to head coaches. So I'm going to say it's a 0 for now.
I would say it's probably a 0. I think even though there was a lot of rumblings last year, just hearing the owner talk about, hey, look, we are committed to Josh McDaniels moving forward. The Derek Carr situation, I think, bought him a lot of time. Now
Absolutely.
You find that quarterback, and now you have time to kind of revamp Key and start over.
Unless you believe Aaron Rodgers, who, if he's dealt, will be dealt to the AFC. There's certain landing spots. You think, well, yeah, does he work in New York? Does he even want to go to New York? If he goes to the Raiders, which to me would be 50. Now I think it's to the max.
You think it's to the max?
It's to the max. Josh McDaniel's like, all right, what do you need? Now you're going to get Aaron Rodgers? I think, and when we say 0-50 to the max, it's like, what's the goal? Do you have to make the playoffs, win a playoff series, get to the conference finals, win a Super Bowl?
I could almost guarantee you, Max, without knowing,
yeah,
they not going to – Josh McDaniels is not going to go after Aaron Rodgers. That
You think there's no way in hell Aaron Rodgers goes to the Raiders?
The problem that you have is just what Max said. If I go after Aaron Rodgers
– puts pressure on me.
Say it one more time.
If he gets Aaron Rodgers, it puts all the pressure on McDaniels.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
where does Rodgers go?
Why would I want him? So now if I get him, right, think about it.
You're such head coach, man. Trying to extend that runway as long as possible.
Yeah, because if I get him, they're going to be like, you got to win right now. And I don't have anything.
You don't have anything. You got a couple of guys come off the edge on defense. You got maybe the best receiver in the game. One of them, certainly.
Have you seen their defense, Max?
But they underperform, but it's not like they don't have any talent on the defense.
They got one dude on the defensive line. One guy.
But it's a hell of a guy. All right.
Secondary's dog, you know what?
Yeah.
All right, Keith, Todd Bowles with Tampa. What's his hot seat looking like? 0-50 or to the max?
I think it's to the max. I think it's to the max. Whenever you did what they did last year and stunk up the joint, and the year before they were a playoff team, the year before that they won the Super Bowl, Todd Bowles' seat is hot. It's red hot. I hate to see it. Good guy, know him well, like him, love him, in fact. Seat is hot, though, and Todd knows it.
Yeah, it's a max for me. I mean, Key, you're absolutely right. Even when I hear people talk about this postseason and they're like, well, the Bucs made it to the playoffs, I'm like, yeah, did you see the division, though? Did you see the fact they were sub-500 and still won the division? Like, that says something for a team that won the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, and it just seems like expectations are trending in the wrong direction.
Todd Bowles' brand as a head coach, I think, is problematic for him. Like, if you think – he's a competent head coach, but his teams – and at times he's overachieved with lesser-talented teams. Not that he's had great teams, but, you know, like, you have levels. There's – the Tomlin Harbaugh, you're going to compete every week and every year, no matter who you have level. There's the Rivera, you'll compete, but not quite at the level of Tomlin and Harbaugh, but you'll be competent. And then there's the Bowles, you're going to be a little less than that. I think it's to the max, guys. He's got to do something to show people that he is not just an okay head coach, but better than that. I think it's now.
All right, last one here to the max, looking at coaching hot seats for next season. Kevin Stefanski in Cleveland, Key, 0-50 or to the max?
I'm going to say 50 because I don't know. It's a quiet Cleveland Brown. Like, it's quiet, so I don't know.
Why is it quiet over there?
Huh?
Why is it quiet over there?
It's quiet, right, Jay?
Yeah, it's mad quiet for having Deshaun Watson.
So it's like, I'm just going to say it's a 50 because I don't get anything out of the building. It's just so quiet. I'm not seeing anything. They got Deshaun Watson. Let's see what it is. Let's see what the defense does. They made some changes on the staff. Let's see. It's a 50.
So, Key, I'm gonna call it a max here. I'm gonna call it a max. Since Kevin Stefanski has came on board, right? Like, the win total has declined each year. So first year 11-5, following year 8-9, last year 7-10. And this is Deshaun Watson's first true year, and we talked about him being a top five quarterback as it relates to talent. Kevin Stefanski, an offensive genius mind, right? So I think with the way he's been labeled and the way this team has bought into him, with seeing that win total go down each and every year, but now having that $250 million, $230 million guaranteed quarterback, you got to give me some results, man.
I'll be key. I already know Key. Wait, who says he's a genius? Who says he's a genius? I don't need
Max, I was literally about to say with Jay.
No,
you didn't call Todd Bowles a genius on defense.
No kidding.
You already knew what I was going to say, Max.
100% word for word.
Genius.
I hear these experts planting the seed in my mind.
So, you know how it is, man. We talked about it yesterday.
I know.
So here's the thing about Stefanski. I think he knows what he's doing on offense because I saw what he made Baker Mayfield look like. That year they were good. I'll say this. The only reason I'm going 50 and not to the max is because I think Stefanski is good. And I know Deshaun Watson's excellent. So I'm going to go ahead and say they're going to have success on offense. That takes it down from.
What if they don't?
But that the possibility that they don't brings it up. But the fact that I think they will brings it down. So I'm in the middle, 50. All right. So that was to the max. Early coaching hot seats.
This guy's been around me too long.
As soon as I was. Wait, Jay. Before he even says it, let me just be Key for a second. Who says he's a genius? What's the ceiling for Luka and Kyrie? Speaking of geniuses, offensive geniuses, what's the ceiling for them this season? Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio.
On April 2nd, 1984, John Thompson's Georgetown Hoyas, led by Patrick Ewing, beat Houston in the NCAA championship game, making Thompson the first black coach to win an NCAA basketball title. Thompson became a coaching icon during his 27 years at Georgetown. When he passed away in 2020, several coaches honored him by wearing his signature white towel.
Black History Always, celebrating Black History Month on ESPN Radio.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Yates must have thought the pace, we need a little more energy because
pick it up, Yates.
You can't even help it with this beat.
Pick it up, Yates.
Corey Alexander, ESPN basketball analyst, joins us, brought to you by Wendy's.
No, Jay,
two for $6.
Stop acting like that.
No.
The best deal in fast food.
I got the turtleneck on today. I don't want to embarrass Corey like that, you know,
morning,
coming
Corey.
On the show, popping it like that with Corey.
We going to start off like that early, Jay?
That's what we do, Corey. Corey.
Go and put your hands on your knees, Jay. Go.
Nah. I say that for the dark rooms. You know what I mean?
Please don't do them like that on national TV.
Corey, what got the first time, Corey?
Corey, we got a chance to see LeBron with the new-look Lakers last night. They win. You know, game one, he's back from the scoring record. It took a few days. And D'Angelo Russell, who they drafted second overall not all that long ago, is back and looks like it's working better than the previous iteration of the Lakers. Do you think LeBron can carry this team to at least the play-in game?
I believe he can. Can really isn't the question, in my opinion, though. It's about can Anthony Davis carry the Lakers to the play-in or playoffs. And when you think about it, I mean, the writing has been on the wall the entire season. If Anthony Davis plays well, this team has a great chance. LeBron is going to be LeBron. And honestly, when you make all the trades and you make all the moves, that should take some off of the plate of LeBron James. Anthony Davis has to be the guy that is really the best player for this team for them to be successful moving forward, not only offensively, but what he does defensively as well. And that's been the struggle for the Lakers this year. They're not a good defensive team. And again, Key knows it. Jay knows it. Regardless as to how many tickets offense sells, you don't win in professional sports if you can't defend.
So, Corey, when you look at offense, and you mentioned offense and defense, and Dallas really doesn't have any defense, but they got two prolific scorers. Who should take the last shot? Should it be Kyrie? Or should it be Luka? How do you decide that if you're Jason Kidd?
When you go in that huddle and you're Jay Kidd, it's simply about who has it going that night. And again, I know, Key, you're referencing the last play of the game where those two guys get out there. And you go back and you saw, you know, Luka watched Kyrie make the big shot in game seven in the finals playing alongside LeBron. Luka is a guy who is a willing passer who will give the basketball up. But those two guys playing hot potato at the end of the game, of course, it's not something that's characteristic of either one of them. Kyrie is trying to fit in, which isn't very Kyrie-like. Kyrie Irving has to be Kyrie, and he's the guy that can step up and make that last shot. Of course, we've seen Luka make big shots throughout his entire five-year career. So when you look at it, it's whoever has it going that night has to be the guy. And each and every one, each and one of those superstars can figure it out. Hey, look, Luka's got it going. If I'm Kyrie, I'm going to wait. If he throws me the ball, I'm shooting it. Otherwise, if I'm Kyrie, Luka's open, I'm giving him the basketball to be the guy that takes that shot.
Yeah, I'm with you, Corey. I think it's a read and feel situation. I think Kyrie, if he has it going, let him cook. And the same with Luka. I do want to bring it back to your scoring guard mentality. And a lot of times I feel like the role that is needed from like a lead guard when you have to think through the game, right? And a lot of times bigs have the ability to think through the game just like we do, but we're asked to resume or assume that responsibility. A guy like Joel Embiid, there's no doubt he's the best player in the 76ers, one of the best players in the game of basketball right now. But to me, it's like James Harden has to be prolific in spots in order for the 76ers to win the East, right, yet alone win a championship. Do you feel, though, like if they don't win it this year, if there's an early exit, Doc Rivers probably gone. You're having questions around Daryl Morey. Is that the best place for Joel Embiid to win a championship in Philly if they don't get it done this year?
I do believe it is the best place for Joel Embiid to win a championship, and that is in Philly. But I also do believe that if they do have an early exit, that could spell trouble for Doc and even more so for Daryl Morey, because it's Daryl Morey who put this team together. You got to go back and think. Doc was hired before Daryl Morey, and the two styles do not coexist. Mm-hmm. And when you think about Daryl Morey's style of play is not Doc Rivers' style of play. I was Doc Rivers' teammate his last year in San Antonio. I also played for Doc in Orlando with Orlando Magic. Doc Rivers was a defensive guy. That's who he was as a player. That's who he is as a coach. You go back and you look at the Boston Celtics when they won an NBA championship, it was defense first. So the two personalities don't necessarily mesh. They're trying to make it work. And when you go back to the scoring mentality, and Jay, of course, you know, I always mess with you all the time because you were a two guard, but we'll talk about that. Chris Duhon was the point. We'll let that go for now. But when you think about it, the scoring mentality of James Harden, Key, you're up on this especially. When you go back and you look at Kobe and Shaq, Shaq was dominant for 3.5 quarters. Who was the closer for those teams?
Kobe.
It was Bean. It was always Bean. James Harden has to be that guy. James Harden has to be the guy who's the best player on the floor the last 6 minutes of the game and allow Joel Embiid to dominate the first, you know, 3.5 quarters. But when it comes down to the time where you've got to make big plays at the end, make big shots, make free throws, whatever it may be, it's got to be James Harden who's that guy that Doc Rivers relies on.
So I was going to – my last question is we're about to get into March Madness here. It's coming up. It's right around the corner, right, Corey? I got a chance to win the Wooden Award one time. It still sits at home for me. It's one of my favorite trophies ever. Who are people that we –
Subtle Flex.
Corey, I was getting ready to say the same thing, but I didn't want to cut Jay off. I was going to say, stop flexing.
Sometimes you just need to remind people. You know, Key does it every single day. Give me the damn ball. You know what I mean, Corey?
If I was Key, I would do the same thing.
That's what I'm saying.
If I were you, Jay, I would have my Wooden Award trophy sitting behind me, so I'm not mad at your
put it on a
all,
chain man. Around his neck.
So quickly, who are some names that we should be paying attention to as it relates to the Wooden Watch in the tournament coming up?
I mean, of course, Zach Edey is the guy who's the front runner right now. And then you got to think about Trayce Jackson-Davis, one of only two players, you know, nationally to have 2,000 points and 1,000 rebounds. But in comparison to Jaden Gardner at the University of Virginia, who's the other person, Trayce Jackson-Davis has done it in 4 years. And that's one of the things, Jay, and I want your opinion and Key, yours as well.
Unfortunately, there won't be time for them to give you their opinion because Jay asked you a question with like 1 second remaining in the second.
Max,
thank you very much, Corey Alexander. College basketball season's heating up, and that means the Wendy's Wooden Watch has begun. Go to ESPN.com, search Wooden Watch for the list.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.